and pick up again in the third epistle of John. Verse 1, the elder means the pastor, the leader, the congregation leader, whatever term you like to use. You know, my preferred term is he who sits up front, but that's kind of long and bulky. To the beloved, meaning his dear friend, Gaius, who is a person, he's a messianic Jewish believer, probably the same one called the Gaius of Derbe, but what we really know is that he becomes the first bishop of Pergamum. So this is another believer walking in faith who's leading another congregation. And Paul says, whom I love in truth, as he does all believers.
Where's Pergamum?
Where is Pergamum? It's in, I believe, Asia Minor, which is what we call today Turkey.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing there, really.
Nothing there anymore. That should give us great pause when we study Revelation 2 and 3. Probably next week. Maybe the week after. But, verse 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers, which is just a traditional opening greeting, wishing blessing upon them. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Meaning, your lifestyle walking in the Torah identifies that you truly have faith in Messiah and in the God who sent him. Not that the walking in Torah saves you, but that it evidences the faith that you truly have. Verse 4, for I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So probably John was the one who led Gaius to Messiah. You can't be dogmatic, but that's the way it appears here. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. So the brethren are the believers that you know, and the strangers are for those that you do not know. But when they come and pass through your area, you give them a place to stay, you give them food, you give them rest, you give them comfort. It says, who have borne witness of your love before the church. That is, when these strangers pass back my way, they talk about how you cared for them and you blessed them. He says, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. So he blesses them for having done such kindness to the strangers who carried the message of the gospel. Verse 7 says, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. So these Jewish believers that were taking the gospel around the world to the Gentile areas didn't send around an offering plate and say, put all your silver in the bucket, I'm taking it with me. They didn't do that. Even Paul, if you remember, Paul was a tallit maker. He made his own money. He didn't take money from the congregations for himself. Verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such, that is the itinerant workers of the gospel, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Meaning when you bless those that are taking the gospel message out, you share in their rewards. You're part of their ministry. It's tough sometimes teaching in a lost and dying world, and all the encouragements are greatly appreciated. Verse 9 says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, that's talking about pride and arrogance, right? He says, does not receive us. So Diotrephes claims to be a true believer, but he shows no compassion for those itinerant gospel teachers.
But not only that, but anybody. I mean, it's almost like he was the beginning of the Sunday church group, because he didn't even want the Jews in the group.
True. True. I hadn't thought about that, but that's true. Verse 10, therefore, if I come, that is, if I come to see you, I will call to mind his deeds which he does. Apparently, this Diotrephes is in the same church that Gaius leads. So John says, you do right, but he's not. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. That's Lashon Hara, the evil tongue. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren. and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. But why does he do it? Out of pride. He doesn't want anyone else for the people to look up to or to learn from. He wants to be the sole leader.
Can one guy put out people from the church?
If he's in a position of leadership, he can, if he's an elder.
Also may antagonize them to leave.
Remember, back in those days, churches weren't like we think of churches today, a huge building on the corner. They were in homes. Verse 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. In other words, don't you learn his ways, teach him yours. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Referring to you, do good, Diotrephes does evil. And it's talking about you'll know them by their fruits. Verse 12. Reminds you of Proverbs what?
6:16.
Proverbs 6:16. Everybody turn there, please. Proverbs 6:16-19, you said. I'm turning there. So that we can get it on the MP3. I used to say tape, but I'm learning better. 6:16-19, you say? These are six things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift and running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among brethren. As you're taking notes, make a list. Don't do these things. Okay? Another reference, go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. I'm beginning to think we're not going to do Jude today. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Amen. Teachers are held to a higher standard. If you don't think that keeps me awake at night, got to make sure that what I teach is right. Back to 3 John, verse 12. Demetrius, which is also obviously a believer that Gaius knows, has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, meaning the Bible supports that their actions are true and right before God. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. In other words, we have seen his actions, we've evaluated them, we've seen his spirit, we've tested his spirit, we know it's from God. Again in verse 13, John writes, I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. Why does he say that in 2 John and 3 John? What's he afraid of? The Roman government. Remember, he eventually gets sent to Patmos in exile. So he's trying to be very careful not to put in words things that the Roman censors will read. Yes?
I don't think he was a eunuch. But didn't he also say at one point? Referring to a letter as though from us?
Referring to a letter as though from us. That's the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians.
So, I mean, there's also, if I come and talk to you, you know it's from me.
That's true. If I come and talk to you in person, you know for sure the authenticity of the words.
As opposed to a forgery?
Yeah, letters can be forged, like 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 describes. You're right. Somebody had written letters as if it was from the Apostle Paul, telling them that they'd missed the day of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then he had to go through and say, remember when I was with you, mm-hmm. I told you. And one thing he's trying to say is, when I was with you, I told you in person, and then you receive a letter that you think is from me saying something completely opposite, that doesn't cause you to question and wonder? It should. Back to 3 John. Verse 14, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. That's an indication that Gaius is a Jewish believer. Shalom is both a Jewish greeting and a salutation, as well as the conclusion. Peace to you. Shalom Alecha. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name, meaning know them. When they come visit you, know who they are. Know who's carrying the gospel. Let them be known to you and let you help them upon their way. We have another 52 seconds, so let's close the book with Chazak, Chazak, Vanish, Chazek. Be strong, and may we be strengthened. So how can we summarize 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John? Salvation is by faith, not by works. But if you are saved, your actions, the way you live your life, will testify to the truth of your faith. If you live a life of sin, then your confession of faith is not true. That's what John says. Again, 1 John chapter 2. He just gives us a litmus test. And I like the way he puts it. Verses 3 to 6. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we're in him. He who abides in him ought also to walk just as he walked. I bring that up last as I close the Bible, because tonight at sundown begins the 40-day period of teshuva, or repentance. This is where John the Baptist in Matthew 3 preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. After Messiah is baptized, he preaches, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So I'm in good stead when I say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What John was saying was, this may be the year. This may be the year in which the trumpet blows and Messiah begins to rule and reign. I'm telling you, this may be the year in which the trumpet blows. I can't tell you it is. Ask me in November. But I can tell you it's looking really good so far. Usually by this time I can say, no, it's not this year. We've seen this and this and this to say it's not. What's that?
It went from a simmer to a boil.
It went from a simmer to a boil. Israel is expecting to rebuild the temple this fall. They expect to receive permission to rebuild this fall. Will it happen? We'll know in November whether it happened or whether it didn't. But I like the old Jewish adage, you only have to repent on the day of your death. But since you don't know what that day is, just repent every day. So be ready every day. If you've got sin in your lives, this is the time to confess it, to clean it out of your life, and let's go forward. I'm sorry, I'm still on recording. Let me turn that off.